It was just 3 years ago that Bishop Mary spoke with Ruth and me at her husband Michael's funeral that was held at St. Andrew's in Saratoga. I remember the surprise I felt when Mary shared with Ruth and me that she had written to the 83-year-old driver who had hit and killed her husband. She wrote to him to forgive him. It made me think of another situation like that. It just made it hard for me to get my head around. I remember in 1981 when Pope John Paul II had an assassination attempt, and we didn't know if he was even going to survive it. He was hit. He was gravely injured. He was taken to the hospital. He spent a long time in the hospital. And the part that blew me away was when he left the hospital, he visited the prison. He visited the man who had shot him and forgave him. Wow. These are just staggering examples in my memory of people demonstrating the working of God's grace, working out God's grace. Grace is the topic that every Christian needs to understand, because grace really uniquely distinguishes the Christian faith from every other religion in the world. Our understanding the works of grace and our living the life of grace can transform us as Christians. It can make us different people, transformed from the inside out, when we really understand and appreciate what grace is. We usually simplify the word grace to think that it means God's unconditional love. That's the context we often place God's grace in. No matter what, God loves us. But the reality is, grace is much deeper, more complicated than that. One of the talks that makes up the Curcio retreat, the Curcio weekend, Curcio, for those who haven't made it, is Curcio in Christianidad. It's a short course in Christianity that goes from Thursday evening until Sunday evening with a bunch of talks about how to walk the walk, how to really be a Christian in the real world and to actually live it out. And one of those talks is on grace. And in that talk, it describes that grace is an invitation from God. We cannot initiate it. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it in some way, because it's God reaching out to us. It's about God taking the initiative, God taking the action. Grace is not an object we receive. What this talk describes is that grace is a relationship. It is God giving God's self to us. So Curcio teaches that grace, if we accept it, will begin this life-transforming empowerment within us. So there are several forms of grace, and I want to describe two of them to you today, and it relates to our readings. One form of grace is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace. And it has been defined as grace that works within the true believer in such a way as to bring growth, maturity, and progress in the process of becoming Christ-like. You know, when I first heard that phrase, I thought, well, how pious that is to think I could be Christ-like. But that is exactly what we're called to be. He was sent to be a model for us, to show us in a living human being how to be bring honor to God. And so it is our task in our life to become more and more Christ-like to the extent that we can. And I frankly don't know where else Bishop Mary would have found the compassion and the caring to forgive the person who hit and killed her husband. I can't imagine any other place you could get the power and feel that center within you that could cause Pope John Paul to forgive the person who tried to kill him. It is that same grace that empowers you and me to forgive a hurt, to forgive a wrong that's done to us, and to forgive an injustice that we suffer. The second form of grace I want to talk to you about is sustaining grace. So there's sanctifying grace, and there is sustaining grace. Sustaining grace is given at special times of need, especially during adversity, during suffering. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace," the throne of grace, "that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." Mary was sustained through a heartbreaking event in her life. Think about the times in your life that you have felt that kind of sustaining power, big enough to carry you through a time that you could not handle on your own. That is sustaining grace. That long passage from Paul, and he's the guy, you know, who writes three pages in the Bible that's all one sentence. And you know, it's hard to pull out sometimes what he's trying to get at. But what he says in this passage is so critical because it's sharing with us that living in grace leads us to sanctification. That's another one of those words that's kind of off-putting. But, you know, sanctification means being made holy. Being made holy doesn't mean I'm more pious than anybody else. It means I'm set aside for God's purpose. That's what holy means, being set aside for God's purpose. This church is holy because we set it aside for God's purpose. So think about the idea of you and me being sanctified, being made holy, being set aside for God's purpose. Paul said that living in grace leads to eternal life. So there's this eternal after this life reward. But he says that it also involves us reaping rewards in this life. God's grace frees us from being slaves to sin. It doesn't mean we're prevented from ever committing sin. It doesn't mean that we're never going to be tempted by sin. It says we are not slaves to sin. It's not going to rule us. It's not going to own us. We are instead made slaves to righteousness. And this tells us that our lives are committed to making God our master and making God's character our example. Jesus had already warned the disciples in the passage last Sunday about them having to undergo rejection and even persecution when they would serve as witnesses for him about God's kingdom. Today's reading is the same paragraph. As soon as he had told them about heavy and hard and difficult the job is going to be of being a disciple, of being an apostle, of sharing the message of the grace of God's kingdom, he shares this passage where he's saying, if you share a cup of cold water with anyone, you receive the reward too. He was describing that the life of grace has difficult parts. It has amazingly wonderful and rewarding parts. It's part of this flow of God's grace that has both aspects. We can't understand the Christian life unless we understand grace. It is the heart of our faith. It is the heart of our relationship with God. When you understand grace, you feel closer to God, even when things are hard. The more you understand grace, the more you're drawn to God. The more you love God, the more you are grateful to God. And it's by grace that God brings us to Him. And it's a journey that continues through our whole life. Our lessons today, I'll illustrate the concept of living a life of grace. It's not about living a life without temptation or without struggles or being protected from grief. It's about living a life that's got both good and bad mixed in it, but it's in a committed relationship with God. Let me say that again. It's about you and me deciding to live a committed relationship with God through it all. That's the ideal of the Christian life. It only requires that we accept the invitation into that relationship. And Jesus summed it all up in the end of the passage today. Truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Amen.